From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM, split show for you. Later tonight, taking control of your life, do you quantum think? Diane Collins will join us. By the way, a special hello to Dana, listening to us in Seattle on 97.3 FM, Cairo FM. Hi, Dana. Thanks for listening. Here's what's happening. The FBI warning U.S. retailers to prepare for more cyber attacks after discovering about 20 hacking cases in the past year that involved the same kind of malicious software used against Target Corporation during the holiday season. And right on the heels of all of that, Neiman Marcus, the big store, said about 1.1 million customers' payment cards have been exposed during a data breach at the privately owned luxury department store chain, now from July 16th to October 30th of last year. So far, 2,400 payment cards used at Neiman Marcus's various chains have been used fraudulently. They're all over the place. Stocks dropping sharply on Thursday, with the Dow losing over 170 points and extending losses for the third session after a disappointing U.S. and Chinese manufacturing data sparked concerns for global growth. And get ready for the next era in retail, one that will be characterized by far fewer shops and smaller stores. Sears says it will shutter its flagship store in downtown Chicago in April. That's the latest of about 300 store closures in the U.S. that Sears has made since 2010. The news follows announcements earlier this month of multiple store closings from major department stores JCPenney and Macy's, and further signs of cuts in the industry when Target said it will now eliminate 475 jobs worldwide, including some at its Minnesota headquarters, and not fill 700 empty positions as well. Let's check in with the investment advisor, Michael Mish Shedlock. We knew this was happening, Mish.
George, we've talked about this before, and the amazing thing to me is how you can see it, I can see it, we can talk about this, and it goes beyond Target, and we can't just blame this on the credit card fraud,
no.
Because Macy's, JCPenney's, American Eagle, Aristotle, Walmart, all of these corporations are seeing the same thing, and they're all affected by online retail sales. I want to know, how is it that you and I can see it? I'm sure the Coast to Coast listening audience can see this. I'm wondering, George, is there a vested interest in mainstream media to not see this?
Two days, Mish, before Sears announced it was going to close its big store in Chicago, I was on the air talking about how Sears, I thought, would be the next retailer to start closing more and more stores, and boom, it's happening.
Here it is. George, we talked about this. I can't remember whether this was last week or 2 weeks ago, probably more like 2 months ago, actually, because I've been talking about this with you for some time. But last month, and this has been going on for 3 months, the household survey, that's on which the unemployment rate is based, showed that we were growing about 115,000 jobs a month. The establishment survey, which is the main jobs report that comes out every month, says that we're growing 182,000 jobs a month. So I look at this and I see a 67,000 job a month discrepancy between these two surveys. And my conclusion, which I mentioned to you, I'm certain before, I just don't remember when, was that this was an artifact of Obamacare that stores were shifting part-time hours. They were reducing these part-time hours, so people were taking multiple jobs. Well, if that has come to an end, and I think it has come to an end, or will be within the next month or so, and if on top of that, stores are closing, they're downsizing, they're going to fewer hours, what does that say going forward? Where is the job growth coming from? Where did it come from? When most of it's been on retail sales. I don't think it's coming, George.
More and more stores are going to close. Now, the winner from all of this, it's Amazon. They're going crazy.
Absolutely, the winner is Amazon. And also, any, you know, corporations providing software that enable these corporations to use software and hardware robots to fire workers, or displace workers with robots. Those are the winners. So this whole predication that we're hearing from mainstream media that the economy has turned the corner, that we're about to kick in this new era of growth, along with what we've just also discussed, that China is slowing. George, you don't see it. I don't see it. The listening audience doesn't see it. Mainstream media still hasn't caught on. And you can bet your bottom dollar, 2 months from now when we're discussing this, we're going to see that you and I were right and the mainstream media was wrong.
You're right about that. Mish, thanks so much. Watch and read Mish's blog. Just go to our Twitter feed and track him. A surge in cases of the deadly new strain of the bird flu has been reported in China. Let's hope the virus doesn't come here. Only a handful of people have been infected with the H7N9 since June, but now health officials have reported 73 cases so far this month alone. The world's oldest living cancer dates back 11,000 years ago. It arose in a single dog and has survived in canines ever since, with this cancer, those cells, passing between animals when they mate. Can you believe that? A team led by the Wellcome Trust Sanger Institute near Cambridge in the United Kingdom decoded the DNA of the cancer. It's amazing what they're discovering these days. In Germantown, Maryland, new disturbing details about the mother accused of killing her children during an exorcism. She belonged to a church group called the Demon Assassins. Police say, and prosecutors also say, she attempted an exorcism the day before the killings. According to the prosecutors, the man who was supposed to undergo the exorcism never showed up, so the mother and her friend became convinced the demons were in the children. What the heck is going on with Justin Bieber? Justin Bieber has appeared before a Miami court accused of driving under the influence of alcohol, marijuana, prescription drugs. Police said the Canadian was arrested early Thursday after racing his sports car on a Miami Beach street. They said he did not cooperate when pulled over. He was also charged with resisting arrest without violence and having an expired driving license. The 19-year-old singer was granted bail, set at $2,500. But the big picture here is what's happening to him. A drug bust in his house where somebody there is arrested. They're looking at him for tossing eggs against his neighbor's house. He's been in other altercations in the past. The kid is just 19 years old. Let's check in with our Gary Patterson. Gary, if he keeps up what he's doing, he's going to join that ominous 27-year-old club that you keep talking about.
Well, George, I'm worried about the Bieber. I mean, let me tell you, he's 19 years old. He's got 8 years to go before he's 27.
I know, but he's reckless. He's out of control.
Well, he is, you know, and when you think about it, he's living the lifestyle at only 19. But, you know, one thing I think about some of the members of the club, and they probably weren't as wild as that, but hopefully it's like the famous line that Jim Morrison loved from William Blake's Marriage of Heaven and Hell. There's a line that says, "The road to excess leads to the palace of wisdom." So hopefully this may be something that getting in trouble and going to court, this may be something that can actually help straighten him out. So I hope so anyway.
I don't know, Gary. I think you're giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm seeing a track record here I don't like. Now, a lot of people are saying, okay, we're the parents. Did a little research. The father never married his mother. He has since been remarried. Bieber stays in touch with the dad. The mother was a hardworking single mom, did the best she could, apparently pushed him into the music career. So I'm sure he's taking care of her, but there does seem to be a lack of some kind of parental supervision. The kid's out of control, Gary. He's going to kill himself.
He's out of control. I read that his father was with him.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Oh,
that when they were doing the drag racing. Listen, when you're 19 years old and you have a Lamborghini, that you can drive without a driver's license. And, you know, he is out of control. And a lot of child stars, I guess they went through a period where they were. And, you know, some were not survivors. I think the strong thing for him is that he needs to let this be a lesson. And I think Miami needs to make it a very firm lesson, because I'm sort of afraid he'll just plead no contest and won't spend won't have any repercussion to this. But he sort of needs to realize that he's responsible for those actions, and if he wants to be an adult, then he needs to be treated as.
What does this tell you, Gary, about early success? I mean, the kid's making millions. I mean, he's got a house in Calabasas, California, that would dwarf the size of the building my studio's in right now. I mean, so this success has hit him so quickly. He's making so much money. He's probably, I don't know, where's the influence around him? Where are the people putting their foot down, saying, Justin, you're not going to do this?
You know, I don't think anyone puts his foot down. I think that he's paying all the bills. He has the money. So therefore, you know, he does as he chooses. And I think that's tragic. And as we said before, you know, a lot of young stars who made it big had tragic ends. And, you know, hopefully he can learn something from this. Will he? I'm not too sure, because he seems to be in that downward spiral that we talked about. It was sort of like when Britney Spears sort of went out of control for a while. She brought herself back, but we'll just have to wait and see.
All right, Gary, thanks for the perspective. And by the way, thanks for being on Beyond Belief. I'm looking forward to that show.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I had a great time with you. So see you soon, I hope.
You got there. Gary Patterson was with me this weekend in Denver, and we taped a Beyond Belief episode. And among the topics, we talked about how so many rock stars have died when they got to the age of 27. Justin Bieber has 8 more years to go, but he better straighten himself out right now. Story in the news at coasttocoastam.com. The captain of an airline flying a tourist back from the Spanish holiday island of Ibiza to the northern part of England reported a near miss with a rugby ball-shaped UFO passed within feet of his jet. An incredible story. The encounter was reported to aviation authorities, who launched an investigation. They have no idea what it was. This seems to be happening all over the place. Incredible story. You can read the whole thing at coasttocoastam.com in the news. Up next, be a genie. That's right, in a bottle. Maureen St. Germain with us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, tonight, we're going to make you feel good. We're not going to talk about end times. We're not going to talk about doom and gloom. We're not going to talk about any of that. Tonight, we're going to make you feel good. Our first guest is a split show for you. First couple hours, Maureen St. Germain. Now, she assists people in meeting, surpassing their life dreams and goals, using the laws of quantum physics and sacred geometry. I'm going to look forward to finding out how she does that. Now, she's got practical tools and experiences. Her latest work is called Be a Genie, and we're going to talk with her about that as we bring her in right now on Coast to Coast. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, George. Nice to be here.
Interesting title.
Thank you. You know, it's a funny thing. I got it in meditation. You know, I read later that Jack Canfield also got his title for the Chicken Soup for the Soul series in meditation.
I was talking to Jack a few years ago, and he was telling us that he had that ability. What is it about meditation, Maureen, that pulls in the creative juices?
Well, I think what happens is we quiet the active or the part of us that is constantly analyzing things, and we're able then to tune to the side of us that's very receptive and receiving information but doesn't have that linear focus. And so we get information and ideas that just come through and they float in. You know, they say that Einstein got his theory of relativity in a dream. The man who invented those small satellite dishes, he got his idea in a dream. There's lots of people out there that are using it, and they're not talking about it, but now we're going mainstream and teaching people that way.
You know, I've used it whenever I needed to solve a problem when I was younger or to get things done later on in adult life. I would think about it. You know the old saying, you know, just sleep on it. It's really accurate. It works.
Yes, it does. And the idea of meditation is so versatile, because each of us has our own way of getting quiet. And if you can't get quiet, one of the things that I do is I've created a whole line of meditation CDs that are a talking and then a space, talking and then a space, to give the listener a chance to put their part in. So it's kind of like a cake mix. Add your own eggs, and here you go.
The title, Be a Genie, tell me what that means.
Well, the idea of Be a Genie came because I imagined that I already had a successful book. Initially, I wrote the book because I'm a spiritual teacher, and I knew that people were either greedy or needy, and they needed stuff, they wanted stuff, and so how could I reach them as a spiritual person? So I wanted to find a way to show them that they could have anything they wanted, and along the way, it would teach them principles that would make their life better in any case, and it would teach them to be a better person as a part of the process.
Interesting what you just said, too. They're either greedy or needy. There's almost like no in-between, is there?
Well, I think we're all needy or greedy at various times, you know. I mean, you know, the first time somebody gives you too much change back, what do you do with it? Do you look at them and say, oh, you gave me too much and had it right back? Or do you think about it for a second? Oh, wow, I hit the jackpot. You know,
I give it back.
I do, too.
I always give it.
You know, sometimes people hang on to it. And the other thing is, I was sitting in a airport lounge with the two gentlemen, and the three of us were having a conversation, and they were talking about these stocks. And one man said, yeah, I did really well with that stock. And the other man said, yeah, I did, too. You know, I made this amount of money. And the second guy said, how did you know when to get out of the market? He said, because I hung on too long, and I lost all my gains. And the man said, I decided that I would make a certain amount of money, and when I hit that mark, I got out, even though I could see it was still growing.
That may be the smartest thing anybody can ever do. I have heard stories of people, they go to a casino, for example, they're way up, but they stay, and they end up going way down. You have to come to a point where you know when to say when.
Exactly. But you have to know ahead of time. You have to have clear goals that say, when I make that mark, I'm going to be grateful and step back. You might go back in again, but not in that game, not at that time.
Whenever I think of genies, I think of two things. I think of I Dream a Genie, okay, the TV show. And then I think of the old movies that I used to see in black and white with my dad. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves and, you know, things, Sinbad the Sailor and Genies in a Bottle. And genies that weren't really nice. Two different extremes there.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, there's merit to understanding those two contrasts because, you know, as I took in this idea of a genie and why would I name a book a genie, the idea that the genie represents knowledge or skills or abilities that we don't have. And in the Arabian stories, once the genie is out of the bottle, bad things could happen. And so the idea that the myth was out there, it was turned into a scary story so that people wouldn't try to gain knowledge or power, because once knowledge or power is out, the establishment cannot put it back in. It's like all the news that's on coast. Once that information's out, it can't go back in that bottle.
Well, and when people, if people are greedy, does that bite them in the end?
I don't think so. You know, what happens is when people get the information, when they apply it, when they learn how to use information, then it becomes a game changer. And, you know, we've seen that on the internet. We've seen that in all kinds of areas. You know, just the stories you were talking about retail sales and shopping in America, you know, those are game-changing bits of information. And what the savvy person does is look at that and say, okay, where do I want to be? Where do I want to position myself? And the knowledge that comes through as a result of that allows a person to move into a place of harmony with the new paradigm instead of trying to fight to maintain the old one.
Well, there's no question. Now, tell me a little bit about how you use the laws of quantum physics to do this.
Well, I'll give you a really nice example. In the early years when I was working with this material, I got a very clear message from the angels that I work with, and they told me to practice twofers. And the twofers was the idea that you would take two positive thoughts every time I had a negative thought. And I was in a really dark place, and I was really angry at the world. And every time I had a negative thought about the place I was at, I was told, just think two positives. And later, when I explored quantum physics, I learned about noise-canceling headphones. Now, most people have heard of noise-canceling headphones, but when I first heard of them, and they've been around for over 30 years, probably the military has had them before that. When I first heard of them and I heard that they would cancel a sound, intuitively, I said, that's not possible. And in fact, that's exactly true, because noise-canceling headphones takes an offending sound and replicates it.
Hold on for a second, Maureen. I'm going to talk with you a little bit more about that when we come right back. And welcome back. Maureen St. Germain with us. We were talking with you about quantum physics and how that equates into what you've been writing about. So the break got us. Let's let you review that again, Maureen.
Okay, that's swell. I was talking about noise-canceling headphones, and we all know that they exist, but we don't know how they work. So the way they work is they replicate the offending sound. So the sound has to exist, then the equipment replicates it, reverses the sound, and then the wave is matched with the new sound, which is the same because it's a repeatable sound, and it collapses the wave, and that's how the sound is, quote, erased. So the joke with the little boy between the woman and the businessman on an airplane seat and the little boy's head as a megaphone isn't exactly right when it shows off, you know, noise-canceling headphones. But why is this important? It's because once you have a scientific basis for taking action, the logical side of you or the logic side of the brain steps back and quits arguing with you and quits doing the yes, but what have I overlooked? Because you can now move into a level of what I will call trust, because it's based on knowledge. You know, I say to people, do you trust that the sun is going to rise, or do you know the sun is going to rise?
I think, well, it comes down to both, doesn't it? In some cases.
Well, it does, but you know, truly people believe the sun is going to rise every day. And so they act as if they have that expectation. And so when we use quantum physics, what we're doing is we're using the knowledge that we've learned with multiple versions of the reality. And that's another piece of the puzzle. In the Genie material, I teach people that it's okay to allow yourself to believe more than one version of the reality. You know, when we go in the movie theater, we suspend disbelief and we watch whatever we watch, and then we come out to our real life. You know, you can be watching a scary movie and jump, because even though you've suspended disbelief, your body reacts as if it's real. So in the Genie system, what we do is we say, look, whatever's going on, don't resist that, because what you resist persists. Instead, say, you know what, that's what's going on. I'm not crazy about it, but it's okay. And then you go over to the other side and you go into another zone where you move into the place where you use your awareness, not of what you want, but how it would feel. You know, people think manifesting is coming up with what they want, and it's not true. Manifestation is so misunderstood. Deciding how it would feel to have what you want is the true way to manifest, because then the universe fulfills your desire creatively instead of you dictating every piece of it. You know, the classic example that I like to give people is you would never get in a taxi at LaGuardia and tell the cab driver what bridge or tunnel to take into the city. You would let him or her decide for you, because you figured they know the best route and they're going to avoid any accidents or tie-ups.
Of course, they may pad the bill on you, but so be it, right?
I don't think so. Actually, that's meters.
See, I found, Maureen, that no matter where you go, if you think you know where you're going, they won't try to do an end run on you. Because you know what? I love taxi drivers. We've got a lot of friends out there who listen. But they know that there are some guys out there that if you jump in the cab and they think you don't know where you're going, they're going to take you the longest way.
Well, those cab drivers that are listening are not the kind of guys that are going to do that. And here's why. Because they know, and we know, and this is one of the things I teach in the Genie system, is that the minute we try to pull a fast one, the minute we fib or lie, we are telling the universe there's not enough. And how can we manifest if we believe there's not enough?
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Now, when you're putting together your work, Be a Genie, what do you think? What do you think is the most important message that people can get from that?
The most important thing is that anything is possible. The only thing I've not been able to manifest is obviously bringing someone back from the dead. But practically everything else is carte blanche, is open season. And I'll give you an example that even I was blown away with. When I first started working this system and I started keeping track of what I was doing and paying attention and keeping good notes, I decided, okay, if you think you're so smart, Maureen, you manifest and win this contest. And there was a contest to name a function room at the Southampton Princess. And I was entitled to enter the contest. I was a certain status with the trade association. There were maybe 150 entries. And then what I did is I went into meditation to name the room. Now, what was the grand prize? You would be a guest at the hotel. So what I did in my imagination is I saw myself sitting on the beach, and the hotel behind me had named their function room the name I submitted. So the contest was held, and the winner was announced, and it wasn't me. I was shocked. I was in disbelief. And then I thought about it, and I thought, hey, I was in the hotel business once. Maybe they had to get that meeting planner into the hotel to bring their big function. And, you know, maybe they had to kind of play with the names. Besides, the name was rather ordinary. So I forgot about it. I wasn't angry. I wasn't judgmental. I had no energy on it other than, huh, there must be a mistake. I was supposed to win that contest. And I kind of let it go. A year later, I get a phone call from a man who runs a travel company, and he's putting on a FAM trip, a familiarization trip for people like me, and he wants me to go with this group to Acapulco, and it's completely covered. All costs are covered. So I agree to go. It's a date that works for me. I don't pay much attention because I had a very busy life. I just show up at the airport, and when we finally land in Acapulco and I get assembled with the group, I say to one of the guys in the group, you know, where are we staying anyway? And he said, oh, we're staying at the Acapulco Princess. And I think, wow, that's a nice hotel. We're going to have a great time. And I, again, forgot about it. We get to the room, and there is a brochure on the bed. And the brochure has a function room, a meeting room with every bell and whistle that a meeting planner would want, just like they had done in Bermuda. Identical floor plan, same engineering, and what do you suppose they named it? The same name that I had submitted a year ago. Now, one of my friends said, well, did you complain that they used your name? And I said, no, I got my free trip.
Yep, that's right. It's synchronicity at its best.
So now here's the piece that's so important. When we are manifesting and we think we're going to have an outcome, and we miss the mark, or, you know, the guy changes his mind or the woman changes her mind and things don't go the way we thought they were going to go, instead of seeding the system we're creating with more grief, we actually choose to just look at that and say, there must be some other piece here that I haven't seen. There must be a better outcome than I could have imagined. And then you let it go. And it isn't easy, but, you know, there's reasons why I do it that way. And I'm not going to get into the actual sacred geometry on air, but I want all the listeners to know that the actual formula is within the sacred geometry, and it is easy to figure out and understand as 2 + 2.
When you say, though, sacred geometry, what do you mean?
Sacred geometry is a very interesting word, but the best way I can explain it is to say, how could we possibly talk about Princess Di if we didn't know about royalty? So sacred geometry is the royalty of numbers. It is the numbers or the mathematics that's found in nature. It's found in organic matter and inorganic matter. It's found in the way plants grow. It's found in the relationships between the bones of the body and the next bone. It's even found in the DNA. And so this relationship turns out to carry a magic number. It's often referred to as the golden mean, but there's more there than I'm telling you, because again, I don't want to get too deep into the numbers and confuse somebody along the way. It's very well written in the book. One of the things my clients and students tell me is that if they had learned geometry the way I teach it, they would have gotten A's in high school. And I can tell you that the sacred geometry is one of those reaffirming pieces that once you see how everything lines up in terms of the mathematics and nature, and then you turn around and use that same formula to co-create your own reality, it's a win-win, and you cannot fail.
Maureen, what is the Merkabah?
The Merkabah is a crystalline field that sits around the body. You can turn it on through a guided meditation. Some people spontaneously turn it on. It is made up of that same sacred geometry stuff that we were just talking about. And it just happens to look like a flying saucer, if you could see it.
Explain that more.
So the actual shape of this field allows you to have a awareness of the reality around you that is greater than what you can have in your 3D body. One of the things that happened to me, because I taught the Merkabah for over 20 years, is that I was able to access knowledge that I wasn't able to access before I started doing this guided meditation called the Merkabah.
Does that kind of open up your creativeness?
Not only does it open up your creativeness, but it opens up your knowingness, so you know what you need to know before you need to know it. You know, one of the things that I learned as a result of learning the Merkabah was I learned that I could teach myself how to connect with my higher self, and that's in one of my other books. And I'll give you an example of some really interesting thing that happened. I was driving down the highway on an interstate, and a semi drove past me, and my higher self, which is a function that's like the main driver of the Merkabah, the higher self of me said to me, "Get into the slipstream of this truck." Now, I know that's not nice, and I was credulous. How could this be? And I asked again, "Am I to do that?" "Yes, now." So I did. Then we were coming up on an interchange. Now, I'm supposed to go in a different direction, so I'm wondering what's going to happen next. And the truck goes exactly where I'm going. So we both kind of turn to the right, and I'm still behind him really close because I keep being told, stay with him, stay with him. And suddenly he moves to the right, and he's now on the berm of the road. And I'm asking again, still, stay with him now? Yes. So I did. And another car going 60 miles an hour came the other way. And as we finished that turn and we landed on the new interstate, I checked in again. Do I need to be with this guy now? Nope, you're fine.
Well, somebody was helping you.
Indeed.
Or something.
Indeed. So the Merkabah as a field gives us access to what I call the fifth dimensional self. Now, the fifth dimensional self,
which is normal and natural, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So the fifth dimensional self is the version of us, of you, of me, that is fully plugged into God. The best way to know what 5D is to say it's what everyone else thinks is heaven.
What is the best way of turning your dreams into reality?
Take some time and figure out everything you don't want, first step. And then look at everything you don't want and write something that would be the opposite. So if you don't want a partner that comes home drunk, you want a partner that comes home happy to see you. If you want...
Get rid of the partner. Isn't that the
Well, you want a partner. You just don't want him to come home drunk. A lot of times people are hung up on what they don't want. So I always make sure that you're not holding out on yourself by thinking about what you don't want. So I always make people write that list first. Then you write a list of what you really, really want. And I make people write 25 things. And here's what happens. The first 12 are easy. And then after that, you hit a wall, because you don't know what you're supposed to ask. You don't know what you're supposed to look for. And that's when it gets juicy, because that's when we get into what people really want. And then we work with that by playing. And I ask people to interact with me, and I get them to tell me what their heart's desire is. And then I ask them, okay, pretend you've already achieved it, and it's been a while, and you're going to have a real-time conversation. That is quantum physics, where you're anchoring it into this reality. You're going to have what I call a linear conversation, where you're looking back in time to, you know, whenever it wasn't so. And then you add to that, how does it feel now that you've arrived? And the thing that I noticed, George, that makes this different than practically any other kind of manifestation is I require people to imagine the conversation with someone that they know would be there at that time. So you want to try? I'd love to play with you and name something that you'd really like to do that you have yet to do.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Go to the moon.
Okay. You want to go to the moon. You know, that's not so far-fetched because people do that.
That could happen.
That's true. So if you want to go to the moon, what is the thing that would happen after you've been back that would prove you'd been there?
Oh, I tell everybody everything I saw. They get a firsthand glimpse from me, whether there are artifacts there.
Your pictures on your radio show.
I sure would. We put it up on our website. We splattered all over the place.
And you'd also have a conversation with someone who's important to you and say, you know what? That was so far-fetched, I never thought I could pull that off.
I'd probably get Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut. He walked on the moon, and we talk about these things. And I say, hey, Edgar, you remember that rock? It's still there. Assuming I landed in the same spot.
I love it. I just love it. Well, you know, that's how we manifest.
And what I like about the moon. What I like about the moon is you can go and come back.
You can go and come back?
Yeah. I mean, they're actually picking people now to go to Mars one-way trip. I don't think I'd want to take a one-way trip. Would you?
Well, I don't think so either. I just finished reading that book, Return from Planet Serpo, and I think you had that guy on the show.
Yeah, I had them on, yeah.
Yeah, and so that sounds pretty rough to me.
That's a strange story.
I like my comforts.
Well, so this power of being a genie, does this mean everybody has that capability?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And it's a lovely thing that you would ask that because, you know, we want everyone to realize, yeah, you have the power. That's why the name genie is so dramatic, because it's like once you get that out that anybody can do this. I'll give you another example that was so mind-boggling even to me. In the early years, this lady was in a class, and she was a clerk in a law firm. She had a very nothing job, and she loved horses. And what she put on her genie list was she wanted to own a horse rescue farm. And she got up in front of the whole class, and she played with me, and we did this imagination thing where she saw herself after she already had this successful horse rescue farm. She writes me an email a year later and said, it starts out, "Dear Maureen, that genie stuff really works. I got hitched." Now, obviously, she's talking about getting married, but I think it's very funny that she used the hitch word.
Yeah.
Secondly, she tells me that the man she married owns a company that is making horse feed, organic horse feed for horses.
How about
she already
that?
Has a horse farm. How far is she from that dream?
She married smart.
And that's what happens. The universe pulls the pieces together and makes it happen so you don't have to work so hard.
Well, yeah, but let me ask you this. Everyone is human. They're subject to all the ups and downs of life, a bad economy. Maybe they're out of work, maybe health issues. How do you pull yourself, Maureen, out of that mess?
I am
That's
so
real.
Glad you asked this, because I had a client a couple of years ago who was in such terrible straits that she could not pull herself out, and she was in this just awful place. She was a nice person, very talented, very gifted, but there were so many depressing things around her that she could not. I mean, she had gone to buy diapers, and she didn't have enough money on her ATM card and had to put them back. And how humiliating is that? So I sat down and I wrote down everything that she was worried about. And then I wrote another list of intentions for her and told her to recite them and read them often. And that's my free gift for the listeners. So I've got them now recorded with nice background music. And I've got the story of that same woman that I just told you about and how she recovered an iPad that was stolen from her husband 2 days early in New York City.
That's a pretty good move.
It's awesome stuff.
All right, we're going to take this break, Maureen. Then we're going to come back and take some phone calls with you. Be a genie, how to conjure up your own happiness that's deep within yourself. If you need to email me, let's just send it to George at coasttocoastam.com. Maureen's website, it's her name, and that's linked up too. We shall be back.